Well, I wanted to touch on this word of being an overcomer. If you overcome something, that means you've gained the superiority over something. That means you've conquered something, you've won, you've gained, but you've defeated something, you've subdued it. But let's take a look and let's read along. I want to read a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 through 21. And this is in the New Living Translation. And it says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person." Doesn't mean this is Paul writing by revelation of the Holy Spirit, and he's saying here that if any person belongs to Christ, they've become a brand new person. That means that it doesn't matter what my thinking is, how I feel about something, what I think about it. The Word of God says I'm a brand new person, someone that never existed before. If something's brand new, it never existed before. So I'm a new person in Christ that never existed before. And it goes on, the old life is gone, the new life has begun. So I have his life in me now. His presence is in me. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. So we all have been given a ministry or a task or a commission to go reach people for Christ. And verse 19, "And God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them." Boy, that's a big deal. People today feel like they've missed the mark and they have to do something to earn God's goodness or grace. And he's saying, no, it's a gift. You can't earn this. It's already been secured for you. I'm not charging you with the sins that are against you. You're free from those sins. And it goes on, and it says, and let me continue. "And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." Verse 20. "And so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal," how? "Through us." Keep that in mind. God is making his appeal to this world, how? "Through us." You might be thinking, well, it's me. No, it's God in you, working through you to make his appeal to the world. And it says, "We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." So there was an exchange. We took on his righteousness. He took on our sin and unrighteousness. So there's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing, there's no good deed or good work, although good deeds and good works are wonderful, and we should do those, but you can't earn your righteousness. You can't be made right with God with anything that you would ever do. It's the blood of Jesus that was sacrificed. John 16:33, in the Amplified Classic Translation, it says, "I've told you these things so that in me," we're in him, "in me, you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So he has deprived the devil of the power to harm you. That's what it goes on to say. He says, I've overcome the world. He has deprived it of the power to harm you. So this is why it's so important to meditate upon who you are in Christ. He's in you. And he cannot fail. So if he can't fail and he's in me, then I can't fail. I cannot be defeated in him. And so we need to remind ourselves of this often, that when there's things going on and it's literally in your face and there's things that look like they will never change, can't change, and there's obstacles, this here says, be of good courage. It says, undaunted, confident, I've overcome the world. Take courage. And so we are not to be in fear. We are not to be overcome with feelings of, oh my God, what am I going to do here? He said that he has overcome the world. Be confident. Be undaunted. It's no longer you that live. It's he that lives in you. You know, the more we talk about a problem, the more it becomes real to us. In the sense, it is a problem that maybe you're confronted with, but he said he has overcome it. I think sometimes we believe that, and then when things don't change, we start to question, well, maybe he didn't mean that. No, he meant that. Now, it may not change the way you think it's going to change or how it may change, but it'll change. It has to change because he said he's overcome it. So we need to watch what we say and talk like he talked the covenant. Colossians chapter 1, it says, in verse 20, it's in the New Living, it says, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So he's not holding anything. He's not at war with people. You know how people say, you know, even I like what the I don't like what the insurance companies say. It must have been an act of God, and it was something destructive. He's at peace with us. He's not the one causing the problems. It's the devil. And he said, I have deprived it of its power. So the devil comes making a lot of noise. What does the scripture say? He roams about roaring like a lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour. So he makes noise. He woofs, right? But he's woofing blanks. Because if you think about it, he's just trying to see who will take the bait, who will take the fear, who will take it. But he has not the power to destroy you. He does not have the power to make you choose something. The power of sin has been broken in your life. Why? Because I have a brand new life. I am a new person in Christ. It's his presence in me. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. I like this in the Passion Translation. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 through 7 in the Passion Translation. It says, "This is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you." Isn't that interesting? They're confessing, they're repeating the words to you. The words what? That they heard. "God is pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we keep living in the light, in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin." So if you can't find a trace of darkness in him and he's in us, then that means you can't find a trace of darkness in you. And the reason I say this is because I'm going to go step over here a little bit in talking about the love of God. When we walk in the pure light, as he's in the light that surrounds him, we're walking in the love of God. Now, does that mean that we are going to be free or not touched by the stuff that goes on in this earth? No, it's going to confront you. Stuff is going to confront you to test your walk in Christ. And so we need to remind ourselves that, as the Bible says, Satan is the god of this world, and he blinds the minds of those that, it says, are lost. So does that mean that we don't have issues in society? Oh yeah, there's all kinds of issues going on in society. But what did it just say? I've deprived it of its power to harm you. Well, I'll tell you, you know, this is good news. Because you can see in society the devil's trying to stir up fear, stir up hatred among people, hatred among races, hatred among people now. You get a vaccine, you didn't get a vaccine, I don't like you. I mean, this is real stuff. I mean, we've had members approach us saying, what am I supposed to do? I may lose my job. And so these are real issues that people are faced with and choices that they have to make. But God said, I'm with you. And I've deprived it of its power to harm you. And so we need to just remind ourselves that the devil comes to do what? His only purpose is to come and steal and to kill and to destroy. But I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. So we need to just remind ourselves that if we walk in the love of God, that we will have unbroken fellowship with what? One another. We won't fuss with one another, especially the church. You know, this is becoming, the more I read this, the more I read these scriptures, the more I meditate on these scriptures, it becomes more real to me on the inside. And I know I was watching something recently. Billy Brim was having a autumn assembly in Branson, Missouri. And Sunday night, I was watching the stream, and she made a comment, which I said, yeah, Holy Ghost was moving. People were being ministered to. And she said, the glory of God is being unleashed in this earth. And there is an awakening and a revival of God's body, the church. And she said, you cannot walk in a spirit of bitterness. You cannot, because it will hinder the flow of God. It'll hinder the power of God. So if you've got bitterness in your heart, if you've got some kind of, you know, thing in your heart towards someone, she said, you need to get rid of it. Ask God to forgive you, because it will affect the power of God. And this is what we're talking about here. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another. That means I'm walking in the light. That means I'm walking in the love of God towards someone. And I may have to say I'm sorry. I may have to just close my mouth and, you know, as they say, just not say anything. But what I'm seeing is that the devil has taken this, these social issues and issues in this world, and is using it to get the church to bicker with one another and to have broken fellowship, because we're not walking in the love of God. And I said, you know what? This is something that we need to keep reminding ourselves, because what ends up happening is when people take offense, they're taking offense like it's them. And just like the scripture says, the man that looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets who he is, what he looks like. So we need to remember who we are, that I'm going to, at all costs, whatever it takes, I'm going to walk in fellowship with my brother and sister. And it may hurt sometimes to have to do that, but it's a command from the master. So he knows something somehow, in some ways that we don't grasp yet. But the more we meditate upon it, the more we realize how significant and important it is to walk in the love of God. And that we don't let these things that the devil's stirring up in society to cause us to bicker with one another. I'm telling you, I'm seeing some stuff lately that just, it's troubling my spirit. I said, no. We need to watch this. 1 John chapter 5, in verse 4 in the Passion Translation, says, you see, every child of God overcomes the world. How are we going to overcome? He said, I've overcome. And it goes on, and it says, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Well, what is Galatians chapter 5? It says, our faith works by love. So if you're not working in love, your faith won't work. Or it'll be hindered. So our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. So who are the world conquerors defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. Now I've been referring to this here. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. But listen to this in the Passion Translation. It says, my old identity. So you had an identity. But your old identity has been, it says here, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. So your old identity has been crucified with Christ. You're a brand new person in Christ. And it goes on, and the new essence, oh, I like this, and the new essence of this life is no longer mine. It's not my life. That's why if you don't know who you are, you'll talk like it. And it goes here, for the anointed one lives his life through me. Who's living his life through me? The anointed one. We live in union as one. That's why when I see people talk, I go, who's living in them? Jesus doesn't talk like that. Sometimes we have to watch ourselves when we start talking. And we start saying stuff, is that the way Christ talks? Because I'm in union with him, I'm one with him. So it says in the scripture, I have the mind of Christ. Sometimes we're talking like we have the mind of the world. And we all have to watch ourselves, and I include myself, because sometimes you get talking, you have to stop and say, wait a minute. Is that the way Christ would talk? I'm in union with him, right? So it goes on. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life into mine. Oh boy. That's why I'm saying this revelation of who we are in Christ, who I'm connected with, who I'm in union with, and who lives their life through me needs to have a greater revelation in our lives, because when we come in, we hear this, and then we walk out and we get caught up in life and we start thinking and talking like that. Oh, man, it's the truth. And God is trying to do what? He's trying to be seen through us. He's trying to be seen through us. So let me take a few minutes, because faith is substance. And says our faith has overcome the world. Faith is substance. That's what Hebrews 11:1 says. Now, faith is the substance. Faith, you can't see this substance, but you can see the effect of it. But in the spirit realm, in God's spirit realm, faith is substance. It's the substance that made the seen. And that unseen substance is what overcomes the world. Overcomes every obstacle that we face. And how is that substance activated? By what we say. Faith is voice activated. But let me just read this here, since we're... Let's turn to John 17. And this is such a wonderful passage of scripture in Jesus praying to the Father, John 17, and let's look at verse 17. And I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation, because I think it speaks strongly, or stronger. But But I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation, starting in verse 17 through 23. And I'm sharing this along the line of, you're a new creature in Christ. It's not your life anymore. It's his life. And he wants to be seen through you to the world. But listen to this in John 17, starting in verse 17, in the Passion Translation. It says, your word is truth. Now he's praying to the Father here. So make them holy by the truth. I have commissioned them to represent me just as you commissioned me to represent you. Jesus is saying, I've commissioned them to represent me just as you commissioned me to represent you, the Father. We're commissioned to represent him. Boy, I tell you, sometimes it sure don't look like it. And it doesn't sound like it. And this goes on. And now I dedicate myself to them. Oh. Do we dedicate ourselves to the body? He's saying here, I dedicate myself to them. As a holy sacrifice, so that they will live as fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. That's why when the scripture says in Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed, and it goes on, that you may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says that we offer ourselves as a sacrifice. Who are we offering? Where it says here, Jesus said, I dedicate myself as a holy sacrifice so that they will live as fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. Verse 20, and I ask not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through their message. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. How's that unity going to come about? The glory of God. And what's going to affect that glory? When we walk in unforgiveness and bitterness towards each other. Oh, yeah. Let me read it again. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. Now listen to verse 23. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them so that they will experience perfect unity. Wow. And the world will be convinced that you've sent me. For they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. So when we talk like we're defeated, when we talk like the world is against me, then we're actually not representing the one that he said, this presence, he said here, what did it say? You live fully in me. I now live fully in them so that they will experience perfect unity and the world will be convinced that you have sent me and that for they, the world, will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. You know, I was reading this post yesterday on Facebook. This is a person, his name is Christopher Alam. He was a former Muslim who got gloriously saved many, many years ago. And he's over in Bangladesh right now, and he's holding some large crusade meetings. He goes 4 or 5 times a year to various areas, primarily into Muslim areas that are predominantly Muslim, to reach them for Christ. And he said this area, he was writing a post. I'm not going to read it, but he said he's about a few miles from where he lived and grew up, and his father lived, and his father was a Muslim. He was raised a Muslim, and to hate Christians. And he got gloriously saved, and his family ostracized him and so forth. His father tried to have him killed. But he said his father left a large inheritance, property, goods, everything. And he said, as the son and the first son, he said it was really his to have. And he said what happened was, this is a number of years ago, he said what happened is his siblings wrote him out of the will and took everything. And he said, I could have fought it. He said, rightfully, I would have won. But he said, in prayer, he said to the Lord, Lord, you know this is my inheritance. It's mine. And he said, I was upset about it. And the Lord said to him, he heard his voice, he said, let it go. I'll take care of you. And he let it go. He said, okay, I'll let it go. And he said, you know, you're still in a human body, your flesh. So he was somewhat upset about it, and he said the Lord kept saying to him, let it go. And he said the next crusade that he was at, he said all of these Muslims came to the stage to accept Christ, and he said to him, this is your inheritance. I'll take care of you, but this is your inheritance, all those that are one to me. And so he said, that's the more important thing, not what you could gain here in this earth. And so he said every time after that, thousands would come to the stage, Muslims, to receive Christ. He said, that's your inheritance. And so he said, through the years, God has supernaturally taken care of him. And so I just share that so often we have to have the mind of Christ, how God sees things. You know, we're trying to get things in this earth. I'm not saying you shouldn't have them, but that's not what's the most important thing. Reaching people for Christ, winning people for Christ is more important. And so, just the same way. Now look at John 13, 34 and 35 in the Passion Translation. It says, so I give you now a new commandment, love each other just as much as I have loved you. Love each other just as much as I've loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. So just the same way when Jesus was here and he had that prayer to the Father in John 17, just the same way when people would say, show us the Father, and he would always say to them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus was commissioned to always reflect who his Father was so that the world could see a reflection of God through him. And so it's our responsibility just the same way in this prayer. Jesus said in verse 22 of John 17, for the very glory you have given to me, to Jesus, I have given to them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. So when the world sees the church, who should they see? They should see Jesus. And that should point them to the Father. And they should be seeing the unity of the body, not the separation of the body. And I believe that this message of being who we are in Christ needs to be meditated more on, taught more, because his return is coming close. And he said in the scripture, I'm not coming back for a bride with spot or wrinkle. So that means some way, somehow, we're going to walk in unity. Some way, somehow, we're going to walk in the love of God towards each other so that he can be seen through us. And the world will know that he loves us. Because right now, folks look at us and sometimes they go, that's your God? And the way people talk and the way people act and the way people do one another, and they want, and they say, well, if that's the way your God operates, I don't want any part of it. And you know what? They're right. So we need to just think about those things, that the more we meditate in these scriptures, the more God will prompt us to walk in love. Didn't say it was going to be easy on the flesh, but the faith of God will give us the power to walk in love. As we operate in faith, it will ignite or propel us to walk in love, where your mind may be going, I don't want to do that. But your heart says, I will. I'll have to. So just the same way Jesus was a reflection of the Father, we are to be a reflection of him. And as we do, I like this scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, this is the life-giving message in the Passion Translation. We heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. God is pure light, and you will never find even a trace of darkness in him. Well, he always walked. What did it say? He said, this glory that Jesus had, he said it was this unity that he had with the Father. So there's no darkness. There was no darkness. Same way, no darkness in him. He's now in us. And the power of God in us, there's no darkness in us. In your spirit. So when we talk about overcoming, if we let the word of God and the power of God have dominance in us, in our heart, in our thinking, we will walk in the love of God, and we will approach these issues that we face, we'll approach them and overcome them. How? Through the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's so. Praise God. So I just share those thoughts. And then just this one last scripture in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 5. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. But the love of God will be perfected, or you could say made mature, within the one who obeys God's word. We can be sure that we've truly come to live in intimacy with God, not just by saying, I am intimate with God, but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old one that you have heard from the beginning, and you've already heard it. Yet, in a sense, it is a new commandment, as its truth is made manifest both in Christ and in you. The truth of it is what? Made manifest in you as it's made manifest in Christ. Because the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already blazing. Anyone who says, I am in the light, while holding hatred in his heart towards a fellow believer, is still in the darkness. But the one who truly loves a fellow believer lives in the light, and there's nothing in him that will cause someone else to stumble. So when it talks about walking in the pure light, if we do that, we'll have unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us. This also says here, if we say we walk in the light while holding hatred in the heart towards a fellow believer, you're still in the darkness. So that's what we're saying, that in order to walk in the light, it means we're walking in the love of God. We're walking in unity with one another. And this is the thing. The devil's using the issues in society to separate the body of Christ, causing it to be fragmented. And that's what we need to say, no, not doing that. I'm not doing that. You know, you can spend 5 minutes with somebody and they can start talking and you can pinpoint what they believe. When they talk, you can begin to say, well, they sure don't talk like they know who they are in Christ. They talk like they're defeated. They talk like their problems are bigger than them. They talk like the problems are bigger than God. And that's their speech begins to reflect their faith. Do they have faith in God, Mark 11:22, or do they have faith in the problem? And that's what we're talking about today, that when we walk in this earth, we are to be a reflection of who? Christ, and that he's operating and working through us to overcome obstacles that we can't change. And when we give him glory, the world, this is what was prayed in John 17, the world begins to say, God loves them. He's operating on their behalf. And that's what we're talking about, that when we operate in faith and we speak the name of Jesus and we doubt not and we speak to these obstacles and we turn around and have the victory and we give him glory, we say, no, I didn't do that. I had faith in God. And when they see victory after victory after victory, the world comes to the conclusion, this God that you serve loves them. No different than what happened with Pharaoh when he said their God is for them. And so our deliverances and the things that we overcome in this earth reflect the goodness of God to the world. And so that's why when we walk in unity, it's key that we find it within ourselves, whatever way we can, to walk in unity, walk in the love of God, not bicker with one another. And if we can't find some common ground to stay in unity with someone, don't start picking at the things that you disagree upon. Leave them alone. Maybe you don't have all the light you need in that particular area. Maybe that other person doesn't have all the light in that particular area. Leave it alone. Find common ground. You know, I learned this from Pastor Sarah and Clinton when we would go to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Washington, D.C. These were evangelicals. Well, now, man, praise God for them. But here you're spirit-filled, you're teaching the word of God, it's the word of faith. What did they do? They had to find some common ground to talk about and to have fellowship around. What did they do? They lifted up Jesus. They didn't talk about stuff that this camp believed in and this camp believed in. No, they found some common ground to have what? Unity. And that's what we need to do. Be wise in these areas. Don't let the devil have us bicker over things that just we shouldn't be. Right? There's strength in unity. And there's glory there. Praise God. Amen. You know, this is not to get on anybody's case. This is to remind me, remind all of us, that we are his representatives, his ambassador. He lives in me. And he should be a reflection through us, right? Everything we do, everything we say. And when we miss it, correct it and say, you know what? Lord, help me to grow in this particular area so that we can grow up in Christ. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that we are growing in Christ. Thank you that your body is awakening to who they are in you. And we thank you that we are a reflection of you, just as Jesus was a reflection of you. And we thank you for it. We thank you that your glory is in us. We thank you that your presence leads and guides us every step of the way. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen.